Our psalm reading for this Palm Sunday is Psalm 118, verses 1 and 2, and then verses 19 through 29. Hear the word of the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let Israel say, his love endures forever. Open for me the gates of righteousness. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. O Lord, save us. O Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord we bless you. The Lord is God, and he has made the light shine upon us. With bows in hand, join in the festal procession up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give you thanks. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. This is the word of the Lord. And now as we prepare to hear the word proclaimed, let us pray. Lord, on this holy Sunday, we bow before you with great humility as we enter into this holy week. And we pray, Lord, that you will enlighten us this morning, open our hearts and our minds, have us hear the word that you would have us hear. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our gospel reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19, verses 28 through 40. This is Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' tell them, 'The Lord needs it.' Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' And they replied, 'The Lord needs it.' They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' 'I tell you,' he replied, 'if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out.'" This is the word of the Lord. Well, on this morning, it is appropriate to say Hosanna, that glorious refrain of praise and adoration that begins Holy Week. Palm Sunday is a good day, a great day. It enters us into a week of tumultuous emotions, a week where we come to understand in very dramatic terms just how much we love Jesus Christ our Lord and how much God's Messiah has touched our lives in ways that only the Son of God could do. We look ahead at this week to come. We will ponder and meditate and pray as we take the incredible story of Jesus' mission on earth to heart. We will remember once again the character of Christ and what he must have been going through. We will remember his utter humility as he washed the feet of his disciples an act that was relegated to servants. But yes, Jesus, the Son of God, washed the feet of those he had called to follow him. We will remember his Last Supper with those he loved so dearly, giving them the charge to remember him each time they ate the bread and drank from the cup that symbolized the new covenant he had brought by grace. He prepared them to carry on, even though they still could not understand. We will remember his prayer to God the Father, where he poured out his heart, but yet courageously prayed for God's will to be done. He prayed that he would be glorified, and then he prayed for his disciples, and then he prayed for all who believe in him, both present and future. He prayed that all of us would be one, united by the grace of God. We will remember how he was betrayed by one of his own disciples. Yes, for pocket change, Judas Iscariot betrayed the one who had called him with love, and we will feel the emotions of sorrow as we remember that scene this week. We will remember Jesus being arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane, arrested on charges that were false and completely unfair and unjust. But the false claims against our Lord had to occur so that God's plan to save us could move forward. We will remember that during his arrest, Simon Peter, the disciple who had pledged utter loyalty to Jesus, would deny knowing him three times. Peter was overcome by fear for his own life, and when he realized what he had done, he wept. On Friday of this week, we will remember the heinous and repulsive death that our Lord Jesus suffered on the cross. We will weep as we understand that he suffered that agony and pain so that we might be redeemed and that we will be spared from eternal separation from God. And next Sunday, yes, on Easter Sunday, we will sing Christ the Lord is Risen Again. And we will remember God's promise that we will share in Jesus' resurrection. What a day next Sunday is going to be. Our joy will be complete, and we will bow in humility to a risen and living Christ who loves us unconditionally. What a week ahead. What an awesome season in the life of the Church of Jesus Christ. And what a time for us to reflect on our own relationship with the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But today, on this Palm Sunday, we begin this awesome week by remembering what Jesus did 2,000 years ago as he made his way to Jerusalem to fulfill God's plan as foretold by the prophets. The Messiah was on the move. Today's scripture picks up about halfway through chapter 19 of the Gospel of Luke. Jesus is about to make his triumphal entry into Jerusalem with palms waving the way for a king. But first, let's be reminded of how chapter 19 begins. It is fitting to understand that Jesus' triumphant arrival in the city of his death was immediately preceded by his conversion of yet another sinner. And how fitting is that? So let's take a look at what it means when Jesus comes into town. In the beginning of chapter 19, verses 1 through 10, it says, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed the sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. Zacchaeus was a greedy sinner until he had the Messiah as a house guest. Little did he know what was about to happen, but his life was forever changed because Jesus stopped by. It is a story that should resonate with us all. Until Jesus stops by, we have little motivation to change, but yet we have everything to gain. Jesus was scorned for being the guest of a sinner, but of course he didn't care. This was his purpose, to be the guest of all sinners, and it was just another stop on the road to Jerusalem. From Jericho to Jerusalem was only 20 miles, and now Jesus had almost reached his goal. Jerusalem, his journey's end, lay just ahead. Jesus was about to fulfill prophecy from the prophets of old. He was about to reveal to the world that he is the true and long-awaited Messiah. Listen to the prophet Zechariah and see if this sounds suddenly familiar. From Zechariah chapter 9, it says, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will take away the chariots from Ephraim and the war horses from Jerusalem, and the battle bow will be broken. He will proclaim peace to the nations. He will extend, his rule will extend from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. That prophecy was written 700 years before Jesus walked this earth. And there it is, the description of the Messiah's triumphal entry. It was no wonder then that Jesus planned such a dramatic ride on a donkey. He was finally revealing with boldness his true identity. He was fulfilling prophecy. It was time, and the cross was only days away, and he had to be sure that he had revealed the truth. He proposed to ride into Jerusalem in such a way that the very action would be an unmistakable claim to be the Messiah, God's anointed king. It was carefully planned. It was no sudden impulsive action on Jesus' part. It was an act of glorious defiance and courage. By this time, there was a price on Jesus' head, and it would have been natural for him to avoid Jerusalem, or at least slip in under the cover of darkness. But as we know, that didn't happen. We have bookends. Bookends from this particular scene and when it was announced at the beginning of Luke, when he announced the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem. In both instances, it talks about the coming of the king. And as we have a clash of kingdoms, we can ask, was it Caesar or was it Christ? Caesar's kingdom is based on domination and ruthless power, and the kind of kingship that Jesus refused when he was tempted in the wilderness. He said no to Satan. He did not want that type of kingship. The kingdom of God that Jesus preached is based on justice, peace, mercy, and the love and grace of God. So on this particular day, as Jesus was approaching Jerusalem on the donkey, with garments and palm branches spread out to greet him as a king, the throng of followers could not contain themselves. Here comes the King of Kings, the Prince of Peace, with no great prancing stallion and not surrounded by an army. No, here comes Jesus on a donkey, just as the prophets foretold, speaking kindly to the people who walked alongside. They are singing Hosanna. He is approachable. He is not divided from them. He does not claim to be their superior, but rather their servant. The throngs shout out, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." And our scripture says, some Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples. Tell them to control themselves. Tell them to be quiet." But Jesus replied, "I tell you, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." The Greek phrase here is lithos kradzo. And I mention this because if you look at Greek grammar, that phrase is an imperative, which means that it is said with force and with certainty. So if others are silent, then the stones will cry out. This time of Jesus' arrival has been prophesied for centuries. This very moment is meant to happen, and there is nothing that the Pharisees, Caesar, Satan, or any armies can do to stop it. It is God's plan to redeem the world, and the Messiah is on the move. Jesus is saying that this time of triumphal entry into Jerusalem must and will happen because God has determined it so. If the throngs of people were to be quiet, then the stones will cry out, because this time of ultimate significance in the history of humankind must be announced and celebrated. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Amen. Let us pray. Hosanna, Lord, Hosanna. We bow humbly before you, recognizing that your triumphal entry into Jerusalem was merely the beginning for the rest of us. We thank you for the sacrifice. We thank you for what it means that you came, that you revealed your true identity, that you fulfilled prophecy. You come so that we might live. And Lord, we bow humbly before you. We pray that indeed we will learn to be servants, that we will learn to be more Christ-like, and that we will be to the world the shining example that you call us to be. Lord, this morning we thank you for this opportunity to gather in freedom to worship you. We pray, Lord, for those who are in need of your tender care, your healing, your comfort. We do lift up to you this morning Reverend and Mrs. Love, as they continue to face health issues and recovery from those issues. And we just pray, Lord, that you will be with them, that they will feel your peace and your care. And we do pray for their healing, Lord. We pray that it will be quick. We continue to lift up to you, Joseph, our dear friend and brother. We just pray that you will give him comfort and confidence as we await further word from the doctors. And Lord, we put our full faith and trust in you. We do lift up to you, Emily. We lift up to you, Virginia Martin and Mike Slusher. We pray for your healing hand to be upon them and the wisdom of the doctors as they continue to be treated for their illness. Lord, we lift up to you Tim as he faces yet more surgery. We pray that this surgery will be successful. And Lord, we do lift up to you Aretta, our dear sister in Christ, as she ministers to youth on military bases in Europe. And we pray, Lord, that you will bless her and her ministry, and that you will give her the strength and the energy that is required for her demanding job there. Lord, we just thank you for all that you do for us each and every day. And as we go through this coming week, guide us, inspire us. Yes, Lord, give us great inspiration through the power of your Spirit. Help us to be shining examples of your character. So we pray all of this in the name of Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and our Savior, the one who taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us now respond to God's word by returning our gifts to him.